And we've been looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, which is absolutely essential. And as we seek to read and study, God help us, you're going to get more comfortable with God. We're always in the presence of God, and you're more and more comfortable. You aren't going to get it if you're just little segments that you never connect. So as we're studying, so you know why, you already know why. We try to take a word, understand the word, and then the context where the word is found. And in the process, you're learning, you're becoming very comfortable with the book, with God's word. So when you open to Zephaniah, you at least know this is Zephaniah. And it's all right. You just know it's comfortable. So the more you know. So as we do this, and I know it's you have to use your Bible, but if you don't use your Bible, you don't know your Bible. So you got to use your Bible to know your Bible. And then you can't, if you don't know your Bible, how are you going to be comfortable with God? Intelligently. So, here we are. And we're looking at this point, we're looking at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit of God is. Now, but putting that together, you need the basis for that. Chapter 15, which you know, but look at it again. Verse 5. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. The same cannot be a fruit except for of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In other words, you say you're something, but you're really not showing that. And if you're attached to the tree, we don't try to use you in the oven to cook. We only cook with branches that are in the ground. We don't go and cut down the branch that's alive and try to make a fire. We try to use the dead wood. Therefore, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. You need to bear much fruit. That's what you're looking for. Fruit. God. A relationship, branch to the vine, that shows the relationship. How does it show the relationship? By the leaves and the fruit. That's why you know the branch is alive. Now, back over, if you can, to Galatians. And in Galatians in chapter 5, and you remember now, you're contrasting the flesh and the Spirit of God. In other words, you're contrasting being human without God, and God needs to be in your humanity. So, therefore, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, and you're trusting him as your Savior, then the Spirit of God is going to oppose your old nature. It is not for your old nature. There is no halfway point. There is no nice little place to do any work, any compromise out. There isn't any. When Christ died on the cross, he terminated your old nature. And he said, the only way you can get to heaven is to know me. If you keep on not knowing me, you're not going to get there. That's all. You're not going to get there. You got to know me. So therefore, the fruit, the Spirit of God, a tree has to have the fruit. And the contrast, verse 17, chapter 5, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, tie that little thought. Remember what you just read in John chapter 5, 15, verse 5. Without me, you can do nothing. Got that part. Now, chapter 5 of Galatians, the end, verse 17. So that you cannot do the things that you would. It's the opposite. You can't do. You don't have the comfortableness of going in the wrong direction in the wrong way for the wrong reasons. You're just not comfortable anymore. Your life's rightly uncomfortable. The Spirit of God is not giving you, he's not going to be happy with you. You're going to grieve him, Ephesians 4:30. So we're going to do that. And keeping that in mind, the flesh cannot produce fruit. I cannot produce an apple or a pear. I can sit in the middle of them, but I never become an apple. I never become an apple. If I sit long enough, I'll sit with rotten apples, and I still am not going to become an apple. So, flesh cannot become an apple. My flesh. It cannot produce the life of God. I cannot produce apples, and I cannot produce God. I cannot do it. I need to know that. So the flesh is against the Spirit of God. And thus the works. How do you explain the flesh? It's an effort of self, effort of our old sin nature, doing what it does. And we're going to try it in the morning if the Lord tarries, and we make it. It'll try to help you understand. I want you to see the world you live in realistically. I want you to be able to look from inside and see the world around you. And what are you finding? Because I got to get that clear in my little head. Otherwise, I'm keep looking to everything around me to provide life. And it cannot provide the life that I need. It cannot do that. It cannot produce God. Now, and so having said that, the conflict, the fruit, and the Spirit of God. So, when you come down now to chapter 5, and chapter 5 and verse 22, and you know the works of the flesh, I don't have to tell you them because you've lived with them all these years. So I have to tell you about your flesh. You already know about your flesh. You already know it. So there's no sense reading all the works. We do them. So Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit, the word fruit is in the singular, the same as Matthew 28 and 19. Baptizing them in the name, singular, and then of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Always the name, always the hear, O Israel, the Lord one is one God, cardinal one. The Lord our God is one Lord, one. So we shared it last time. You want to be conscious of the fact God wants you to know who he is. And be intelligent when you talk to him. So you just signify Jesus over here, and you forgot the Father over here, and you forgot the Spirit of God over here. You got all three of them at once. That's God in your heart. So you want to keep that in mind. Now, so fruit is in the singular, And then it produces nine fruits, different kinds of fruit. Nine fruits, and that's a representative of all the fruits. All the fruits. There's no end to it. God, we don't even understand enough. We don't have enough. We don't have any language. We don't know how to explain it. Best we can is your word. So therefore, as we look to you, God, we're going to go, and you have the nine fruits. They represent. So when, and also you'll catch it when you're reading your New Testament, especially. You'll read love. You'll love. You'll hear love, 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 love. But you never hear the rest of them. They don't need to. Love, the first one, represents the whole ball of wine, whole thing. So God just says, love, I'm not going to name 25 fruits. I'm not going to name who I am and what I'm like. I'm just going to tell you, God is love. First fruit. Now, having said that a little bit, now exercise it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, you need to, if you read it in your English Bible, write these so. And has as a word for love. There's also another word for love that isn't, you won't catch it as you read, but you do need to know it. That's the word that belongs in our normal usage of language. The word love, the normal. We have the word Philadelphia. Phileo. Love. Philadelphia, the city of love, the word love. And therefore, there's that little word, love. Now, where does that go and how does that leave us in understanding love properly? So therefore, exercise this word, phileo, the normal human relationships that we have. We feel warmth. Another way to get it. You'll catch it. Our normal human relationships, and we use the word love. The adjective for this word, for the verb, is friendship. Friends. Where does word friends come from? Love. You have the word kiss. That's the word kiss. And when they did, remember Judas kissed our Lord. To identify, Judas said, you'll know which one is Jesus. They should have already known. They'll know which one is Jesus. I'll kiss him. That you'll see, already, the Eastern, Near East, kiss cheeks, do that stuff. Now, having said that, let's exercise that so you see it. Interesting, I think. You need to see it. Go over with me, if you can, over in your Bible. Remember what we were looking at. Luke chapter 11. And what we're doing is trying to understand this word, love. Not the word in verse 22, but the other kind of love. And in Luke. And chapter 11. And you'll note, remember the normal human relationships, warmth, friendship, devotion, friends, the word friends, you have that directly. So, in Luke chapter 11, just catch the use of it. Chapter 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, I'm just going to always, can't catch all the context, but you catch the flavor of it. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. That's the word love as an adjective. Sliding over verse 6. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Down to verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his importunities. In other words, he won't let me go to sleep. He wakes him up to get bread. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So he keeps knocking on the door and says, bread, I need bread, I need bread. It's hospitality. He came to me at the night. Friend. Verse chapter 15. And in chapter 15, if I may, going if I can, in verse 6. 15 and 6. Remember the three illustrations. This is the sheep, verse 15:5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, not his enemies, his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. So if I can. So now, verse 9, here's the woman and the coin. And when she hath found it, she called her friends, not her enemies, and her neighbors, not necessarily her friends, but their neighbors, they would know. There's my friends and there's neighbors. Verse 9, and when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost. And the prodigal son, not the prodigal son, his brother. Verse 29, 15:29. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, special meal, like he gave the prodigal son, that I might make merry with my friends. Want to be able to do it with my friends. And in chapter 12, back to chapter 12, and picking up if I can. And chapter 12, verse 1. In the meanwhile, when they were gathered together, and an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another. In other words, there were so many people, they were going against each other, trembling, very crowded. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now sliding down, verse 4, I say unto you, my friends, he's telling them about the warning of leprosy, of leaven. Verse 4, I say unto you, my friends, the Lord is calling them his friends. They're my friends. There's enemies, but here's the disciples. You're my friends. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. So, got that part, just to see it. John, do it again, different way. John, the Gospel of John, and in chapter 11, you'll catch a fullness of it. And in John 11, remember now Lazarus, they're on the other side of the Jordan River. And there's not a crossing. God has them stay there. Now you could have just crossed the Jordan where they were headed to the Lazarus home. But no, he didn't want to do that. He wanted them to sit there long enough because I want Lazarus to die. I want to wait till he's dead. And they're going to come across and tell me he's dead. Now, that's the idea. Chapter 11, verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend, our Lord and Peter, James, and John, our friend, Lazarus, sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. He did it. He's going to show the resurrection of Lazarus, so he had to die to show that in his most wonderful way. Chapter 11, picking up, please. And you'll catch a little bit, but I should have said that before, so you see the context. Chapter 11, verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now you go back over to 11. God said, I know he isn't just sick, he died. Now, what was the response of the people to our Lord's? Over to chapter 30. Chapter 35, shortest verse in the Bible. So if you want to say, I memorized the Bible, this is where to go. You'll be all set. Jesus wept, and he did weep, but he wasn't weeping because of Lazarus. It wasn't because of Lazarus. It's because they didn't understand that Lazarus didn't die. He died physically. He's dead physically. That isn't an issue anymore. You're making it a big issue. That's like in 1 Thessalonians. There are many dead and we sorrow when we lose them. But you don't be that sorrowful. If I want to take him out of the body home, you should be happy. You should be understanding what I'm doing and be glad. Because we're believers now. Therefore, John, chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loveth him. Loved, there's your verb. Loved him. Loved, friends loved. How he was loved. He loved him. He had a natural, normal relationship with him. And that's what the Jews looked at Jesus and said, he's weeping. He misses Lazarus. He's sorry Lazarus is dead, and he misses his friends. That's how they saw it. That's how people see. So, having said that, so God, in his marvelous grace, we use the word understand, adjective, friend. Now, over to John and chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, picking up the thought, if I can, you'll catch it. If a little background, verse 9, verse 20 is enough, I guess. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. That's the word love. Friendship. The Father is friends with the Son. The Father, the Son, your friend. There's Jeanette. Jeanette's a wife. She's also a friend. Also a friend. God, my friends. God the Father and God the Son. In their awesome holiness and uniqueness, enjoy each other. They have a relationship to enjoy just being who they are. They enjoy having lunch together. How's that? They enjoy doing what they do. The Father loveth the Son. Hang on to that. Now, at that part, over to John. In chapter 16, John chapter 16, and picking it up again, in verse, slide down to verse, I'll read verse 26, In that day you shall ask in my name. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father loveth, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and I have believed that I came out from God. The Father himself is your friend. He's your friend. He's your friend. He loveth you. He's your friend. And because you are friends with me. With me. Here's the Lord and here's the disciples. And they were eating. They spent 3 1/3 years together. So that's what they're doing. They're friends. The Father. You're friends with me. You're friends with the Father. That's wonderful. Hang on. Now, got the idea. So, in chapter Revelations, and in chapter 3, and going, if I can, verse 19. And remember the church in Laodicea? And verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And the word love there, my friends, if you're my friend, as many as my friends are, there's my enemies, but there's my friends. As many, didn't say love, hang on to that, didn't say that, not yet, didn't say that, just inch by inch. Verse 19, as many as I love, friends, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent, and repent. Didn't use the word love in the full sense, uses the word phileo, now, to be friends. I love my friends. The verb and the adjective. Now, Titus. And clarify that a little bit. And here's Titus somewhere. And in Titus chapter 3. And you will note Titus 3. And going to the very last statement, chapter 3, verse 15. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that, here's Paul, greet them that love me. Greet my friends, using that word so you see it. Greet my friends. Greet them that love us. In the faith, in the body of truth. It isn't everybody, not everybody, but in the body of believers, my friends, hang on to that. Grace be with you all, my friends. Now, having said that, 1 Corinthians, I think, and chapter 16. Verse 16, sliding down to verse 21. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand, in other words, Paul writing the letter, and then he closes, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema accursed. Maranatha, even so come. Verse 22, if any man love me, if any man's my friend, if any man love not, is not my friend. Say it now, you got it. Not love, not friends. You're not my friend. As many as my friends. But not everyone's my friend. Not everyone's my friend. They aren't comfortable with who I am. We aren't on the same page. Amos 3:3, can two walk together, except they must agree. You can't go together. Otherwise, we have a conversation, and you're where you are, and I am where I am, and each of us transmit, more or less, to the extent we want to understand what the other guy's saying, and we do that. So, communicating, but we need to do it. We need to do it in the same page with God. Therefore, you're not my friends. If any man love not, is not my friend. Not the Lord Jesus. Friend of the Lord Jesus. That's what you just read in Titus. We love, greet my friends that are in the body of truth, that are believers. What did we just read in 1 Corinthians 16:22? If you love friends, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, is not his friend. Is not his friend. They're his enemies, the publicans and sinners. Thumbs down. They weren't for that. Now, so therefore, John chapter 21. And you will note in John chapter 21. And as you go through, as we did this in the Gospel of John a little bit, and we did chapter 21, and then we did first his with Peter after his resurrection, and verse 15, we did verse 15. Well, I'll read it. I guess I'll read it. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, Thou knowest, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And lovest, that's a different word. Love me. Love. God is love. That's what Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's that word. Do you love me like I love what I'm doing for you? And hang on to that. Verse 16, he saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So far, he's saying, Peter said, yeah, I hear you, but I don't understand you. I don't understand you. I'm your friend, Lord. And the Lord wasn't asking him about his being his friend. He wanted to know, do you love who I am? Not just my friend. Do you love me for who I am? God so loved the world. There's the word. Now, hang on, verse 17. So our Lord answers, Jesus saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He uses the same word that Peter does, which is the word friend, to love, to have natural, normal, human interaction. Simon, son of Jonas, verse 17, lovest thou me? Do you love me as a friend? Now, and Peter caught it now. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? But he didn't say that three times. But as far as Peter is concerned, it didn't connect. It didn't connect in here, what he was saying. There's a relationship, Peter, that you're missing. We are friends. I watched over you 3 1/3 years. But you're missing that relationship that demands God in his wonderful person being God in your little old heart. Now, verse 17 again. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he waited, because he knew on the day of Pentecost, Peter was who's the first spokesman? Peter, Acts chapter 2. The first one to speak to all the people was Peter. Peter, You finally got it. Your friends, no, we're more than friends. He's my God. He isn't just my friend. He's my God. Acts chapter 2. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, chapter 10. As we're looking at the word and understanding its usage, which is what you have to do, that's how you learn. That's how you can discern. And we'll be stupid about everything. If I was a scientist or something, and I worked for some company, I would have to learn what they're doing. I'd have to learn to be part of the system. I had to do it. I think I told you that 100 years ago when I went to work for Hughes Aircraft back then. I had a job with IBM. I went to California because the follow-up, my friend, was going to work out there at Hughes, and he wanted someone to ride with him. And I didn't. I knew once I started work, and once I started work, I'd never end. That's what I knew. So I rode out with him to help him, and I was going to fly back. And I went with him the next day to interview at Hughes Aircraft. And then he had his interview. I sat looking at a book in the lobby, and a fellow came out and talked. And he said, would have just introduced himself. I said, yeah, you guys interviewed me when I was at school in Boston, at Wentworth. You guys interviewed me. He said, we did. Yeah. And they disappeared. A little later, he came back and said, I'd like to talk to you. So he invited me in. He said, I have your resume here. I have all this stuff, whatever it was we did at school. And I have all that. He said, I'd like you to work for us. And I said, I don't know anything. And he said, well, we're working on the stable platform for the jet F-102 way back then. F-135, is it 35? Or more than that now, F-35. Is it more than that? Whatever. And F-102, you know, plane, the stable platform. I said, I don't even know what that is. He said, good. Yeah, I don't want you to know. We're going to teach you. You have to keep learning and learning and learning and learning. You want to perfect the relationship to work or whatever you're doing. You want to perfect that relationship. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, that's what you're doing. So that's what we're trying to do, understand a word. And it's so we don't get confused. So chapter 10, Matthew, and you'll notice, please, in chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse, a little bit of background on that one. Verse 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now, 37, he that loveth, there's your little word, friend, the verb, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, not worthy of me. If all we are friends, easy, if all we are friends, that's not enough. It's not enough. We have to be more than friends. I have to be your God. That's what I have to be. You aren't worthy. You love them more than me. You can't do that. In contrast, you can't love them more than me. You love them more than me, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy of me. You're not worthy of the relationship. You're just friends. Now, sliding over if I can, in chapter, well, let me finish that. Let me finish it so you see it. Picking up in verse 38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, sliding up, if I can. Now, you remember we mentioned Judas. And just for you to see it, you've been looking at all this, so you might as well keep looking at it in a second. Go over with me. Oh, you'll see it Mark. Mark chapter 14, and you'll catch it. Mark chapter 14 and verse 44. If I can. Mark 14, 44. This is in the garden before when he's arrested. And Judas goes forward and identifies him. And he that betrayeth him had given him a token, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, there's your word, Philo. There's your word, love, that we're looking at, to kiss, which we mentioned in the beginning. That, same as he, take him and lead him away safely. So, here we are looking in that, in God's wonderful kindness. And so therefore, and as we shed over to John, and in chapter 5 again, and you'll note in chapter 5, Gospel of John, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son. He loves the Son. He's my friend. He's my friend. Loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. God's wonderful, wonderful kindness in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And so therefore, in John 18, 19. So, sliding over, if I may, you'll catch it, into James. You'll see it. That's easy to see. Now we got the part, you want my friends. It has to be more than friendship. And I hold your finger there, my little brain. Go back to chapter 15 for a moment. John chapter 15. And if I may, verse 11. 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, reason that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I love you as friends. You be friends. That's the word, friends, friendship, friendship. Greater love hath no man. Greater love hath no man. I'll ping you up, please. Hang on to that. Greater love hath no man but than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. His friends. Friends? And people do that. They just do that. They do that for more than friends too. Just doing what they do. But you love your friends. Verse 14. You are my friends, love. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Why? For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have known unto you. In other words, I'm telling my friend what I know. I'm sharing with you what I know. Friendship, relationship. I'm showing you that. That's what I did. I'm going to show you my word, and you're going to show me you'll receive my word. That's what you're going to do. And so you're going to be my friends. But, if you don't do that, James. And in the book of James, picking up again, if I may. James, sliding over to chapter 4. Chapter 4, James, sliding down to verse 4. Ye adulterers, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship, there's your word, friendship of the world is enmity, hostility, is an enemy with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend, word love, friend of the world is the enemy of God. Pretty clear? You want the world. If you love father, mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy of me. You're caught up in the world. You like the world. You love the... When we get saved? John 17. I take you out of being in the world, out being part of the world. You were of the world. Now you have found yourself. You have found yourself in the world, but not of it. You're here, but the world hates you. The world hates you. It hates me. It hates you. You, not you. It hates me in you. Because you love me. And because you are my friend. And when we become a friend, Herod and Pilate became friends to crucify Christ. They became friends. They're enemies. But they had a common cause. Christ. They became friends. Friends. What they did. Now, you're getting the idea? Chapter 2. And in chapter 2, slightly if I can, in verse 23. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, I'll have to read verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought his works, and by works his faith made them perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the, underline in your heart, friend of God. He's a friend. We're on the same page. We say, I share my will, my heart, my word, and you receive it, and you want it for your life. And so we're friends. But you need to go past the friend. In order to be friends, he has to be your God and love him. Therefore, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Different. Whole different word. You got to love me. The Spirit of God in the vine. The vine just receives life, doesn't it? The vine just receives the tree life. It doesn't make any life. The branch. The branch is attached to the vine. And all it does is receive the life of the vine, life of the tree. And it flows in it. Life. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. And it produces what? A relationship that involves friendship. They get it? We did all that. You'll never remember it all. Did you get the idea, though? Difference. Difference between being a friend of God and the loving God. Different. God is my friend, your friend, if you're saved. He's my friend. My friend. He's my God. Get the idea? He's my friend and my God. That's why we said in the beginning, learn to be very comfortable in the presence of God. Thank you. Got the idea? Hope that helped. I thought you needed the other word before we do the other one. You need both words. Because as you read your Bible, you might not catch it.